Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Make sure I got the Flaming Dr. Pepper right for you. It's basically just a high-proof rum lighted, dropped in a glass of beer, and that's what it was. I think the last time I had those, probably 2001 on 6th Street in Austin, Texas, KU was playing UT down there, and that was the only time in my life that I was so broke I slept at the airport.
Oh, that stinks.
It was like, so... It was one of those where I had like a 6 a.m. flight and we got done drinking around 11 or 12 and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, just take me to the airport. And I just
That's honestly not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do you do at that time? Right. I was like, I have no money anyway. So credit cards are kind of maxed out at this point. I'll just sleep here and, you know, wake up and get on the flight. And it ended up working out just fine. I made the flight and everything was wonderful. I know people care, but that's where I think that's, you know, 24 years ago, last time I probably had a Flaming Dr. Pepper Max. So it's been a while, but you should experience it.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Since you like them, you just ask at your favorite watering hole. When you walk in, the first thing you want to take a Flaming Dr. Pepper, please, and see if they give it to you and see if you can have it. Binkley did text me. He said,
okay,
yeah,
good.
He would have beer in all five fingers. I said, which kind? Light beer. Yeah, so he would have beer in all five fingers.
Beers. Okay.
You know, my friend Paul is arguing with me about whether or not gas is a gas or a liquid. He says it's a gas. I say it's a liquid. He is wrong. And then my friend Joe, I would have liquid butter, liquid gravy, water, milk, and liquid cheese. No, Joe, that means you just sit there like just shooting this stuff into your mouth because you want to be like 700 pounds.
Liquid
man.
Cheese, nice.
Yeah,
though.
But he did say, tell me one time, if you're not drunk and you look at me and I got that liquid cheese, you don't want some of my liquid cheese. Joe, I ain't want none of your liquid cheese, my man, okay?
Someone said about the gasoline from the 620, pour it on your shoes and see if they get wet.
But it dries right away. It disappears. You spill it on your car, gone. It is a gas. Again, it is in the name. I want to address this Royals take because, look, we're not happy, right? I think that's fair. We're not happy with the way that the Royals are playing baseball right now. We've reached the halfway point of the season. And they stink. They're under 500, and they're not a playoff team, right? But what I do want to say is I get really angry when I see tweets that say, the Royals front office is just sitting on their hands and watching this season fade away. And I really resent when I see comments like that, not just about the Royals, but by any organization in professional sports. These guys that are in the front office of organizations that are running these front offices, that are running these teams, they want to win. And I hate when fans think that the front office is just sitting around doing nothing. The Royals as an organization and JJ as a general manager and everybody in that front office work their ass off this offseason to try to make the offense better. They knew that they needed to upgrade on the offensive side, but they couldn't get the deals done for whatever reason. They offered $60-some million to Santander. He took 90 with Toronto. How's that been working out for Toronto? He's not even hitting all that well right now. So the Royals may have escaped that one. Instead, they went out there and they weren't able to add. And they knew it was going to be difficult. And they thought that they could rely on their pitching. But, hey, maybe eventually some of these guys would step up. They tried Hunter Renfroe. That didn't work. They've tried Mark Canna. They've tried Kevin Biggio. They're trying and going out there and making these efforts to try to make this team better. And I do. And look, I'm not affiliated. I don't pay me money. I don't work for them. I'm not them. But I will say it bothers the hell out of me when I see that the front office is just sitting on their hands. They're not doing anything. What did you want them to do? And if you just say make it better, well, then that's not a real take. You've got to have a plan. You've got to execute that plan. And again, it's not because John Sherman doesn't want to spend money. That guy will spend money. We have seen John Sherman spend money. I have no debates over that. It's just that the deals didn't work out. And that happens more often than it doesn't. In professional sports, the best laid plans sometimes just don't get enacted. But to sit around and say that they're sitting on their hands and they're ruining this organization and it's business as usual and there's no accountability and all this kind of stuff like I was seeing yesterday, that couldn't be further from the truth. I don't believe J.J. Piccolo likes waking up in the morning or Q likes waking up in the morning, looking at the standings, hearing us talk about them not hitting and go, yeah, everything's great. I'm just going to go in and sit on my hands today. They go in every single day looking for ways to make this organization better and to try to make this organization better. And if you're doubting the way that they've gone about their business since JJ has taken over, look back to last year, guys, when they went out and they know they needed bullpen help. And what did they do? They literally traded for every bullpen arm available last year. The MO, their modus operandi, what they've put on paper is that they are going to be aggressive. But you can't go out and make moves until other teams are ready to make moves and say that they're done for the season. It may be too late to salvage the Royals season this year, but you mark my words, they'll be back at it this offseason making this ball club better. Don't think they're just sitting around and they're okay with what's going on. Because they're not. You don't get to be running a major league organization like JJ. You don't get to be the owner of a major league organization. You don't get to be the manager of a major league organization like you if you're sitting back and you're not driven to win and kick everybody's ass at all times. Because that's what it takes to get to this level, and that's what it takes to be successful at this level. JJ didn't get here because he doesn't want to kick everybody's ass. Q didn't want to kick everybody's ass. And John Sherman, a successful businessman, he's kicked everybody's ass along the way too. These are men that want to win and they're doing everything they possibly can. They've given these guys the opportunity. What's Bobby Witt doing this year? Why is it so blasphemous to say, where's Bobby Witt been this year? But we want to blame the general manager or the owner, and they're sitting on their hands and they're not doing anything. Neither's the shortstop. Neither's the first baseman. Neither's the catcher. Right? So let's look at the players and let's hold them accountable for not doing their job. The front office is trying. There's only so much that they can do. There's only so many players you can bring up and send down to Omaha or cut off your roster. If guys aren't available to come in, you can't make changes on your roster. And that's kind of where the Royals are right now. But it's not because of lack of effort. I just absolutely hate that and loathe that. Oh, front office is sitting on their hands. Well, your shortstop isn't doing anything. How many days to the start of the regular season, Mac?
That's 71, I believe, now until the Chiefs season gets started. And that brings us to our Chiefs question, that they have offensive line issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess my question today to you, Bob, is what is the biggest misconception about the Chiefs?
And I think the biggest misconception is that their offensive line is in shambles. And I think for me, that goes back to one of those, again, low-hanging fruit type of deals where people have heard and saw the Super Bowl. And we heard about the left tackle not being good. We saw the left tackle wasn't good. We traded Joe Tooney. Ipso facto, the Chiefs have no offensive line. I think that's a lazy take for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have a different offensive line. We don't know how good or how bad this offensive line is going to be until we get into the games, until we're in September and trickling into October. And then we'll have kind of an idea of where this offensive line is. But I think when people see different and something they're not used to, they consider that to be a problem and they consider that to be bad instead of just opening their mind and saying it's different. Quite honestly, it has an opportunity to be better, because as good as Joe Tooney was, if your left tackle's better and good, that makes your left guard even better. And then you're not worried about trying to play two positions at once like Joe Tooney had to do last year. So I think the offensive line, and saying that it's not good, that is the biggest misconception about the Chiefs. It's different and you're not sure about it. And so in our nature as humans, it's not good because we're not familiar with something, instead of just letting it play out. What about for you?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think overall, I'd just say that they don't have elite weapons. I think offensively, it's talked about, like, Patrick Mahomes is going to have to lift all these people up. Travis Kelce's on crutches. He's at the end of it. It's like, hey, have you ever heard of Rashee Rice? I think people just forgot about him because he only played 3 or 4 weeks last year. Obviously, first season, his rookie year, didn't really come on to the last 8 or 9 weeks of the season in his rookie year when they implemented him, and boy, he took off. And it looked like he was going to take off last year,
yep,
until that unfortunate injury happened and that collision between him and Patrick Mahomes. But he was second in yards after catch. I think he would have been top five in that category had he stayed healthy the whole season. This is a big play receiver. He can take a 5-yard screen pass and take it for 40 or 50. We haven't really seen a guy like that besides Tyreek Hill, but Rashee Rice does it in a different way. He can break tackles. He can maneuver around bodies. And I think he's more well-rounded. I think this guy could be a better route runner. I think he have better sideline awareness, and I think his hands are strong. What was that? Trying to think of that nerd verbiage that we heard yesterday, yeah, on catches, but I can't think of it right now. But I would say the lack of elite weapon and depth, and you speak to the offensive line. Let's say you had an A-plus at guard and an F at left tackle that averages out to a C, but you're having to worry about that F all the time, then it makes it seem worse.
Yeah.
I'd rather have two Cs right there, and that way, okay, set it, forget it, they're average, we can work with that. That's
a great point.
To me, that's the worst-case scenario right now.
Because that's what you did have last year. You had an A at left guard and an F at left tackle, and averaged out, you had a C left side of your offensive line.
Yeah. But really, we're having to constantly implement new plays and kind of cater to that F. Where, you know, you see, you don't really have to cater to. Occasionally, you may miss a play here, may miss a block, may miss an assignment. But overall, you're going to be average. We can work with that. Patrick Mahomes can work and even flourish with average. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Josh Simmons may be better than average, according to Travis and Jason Kelce.
Josh Simmons, to me, watching the tape in college, it was absurd.
Yeah.
Like the athletic ability and size. Trav knows because I've been watching this dude.
I've been preaching my eyes on him. You already know. I've seen it. He was playing defensive end as just like a scout team defensive end. And he was just playing this gap, he was being a pro. He was being locked in and being a pro. And I felt that man's hands grab me. And I was like, all right. I got to come with it. Even when he's just giving the looks, I got to make sure I'm got my feet planted, man.
I've watched a lot of these linemen coming out the last few years. This kid, I mean, he is the closest thing I've seen to like a Trent Williams or like a Jason, like that next level strength and athleticism.
It's coming from the best center of this generation,
yeah,
and a Hall of Famer.
If those two guys talking just doesn't make you smile on a Friday, like, I don't know what will.
Right, with Trey Smith laughing in the background. Gotta, yeah, love that.
And I'm thinking about, they're talking about, like, okay, this is walkthrough, and you're still going through it all, man. Like, you're still giving all your effort, you know? I'm like, okay, that's good. I like to hear that as well. Like, this is a guy that's going out there and busting it all the time, and he's having an impression on two Hall of Famers,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
And potentially a third in Trey Smith, because I think he is trajectory going to the Hall of, mm-hmm, Fame with the way that he's played in his first couple of years in the NFL. But you got three of the best that have ever done what they did, and they're all being wowed by Simmons. And that's the cool thing to me. It ain't us talking about it. It's dudes that have been in the league, have retired from the league, they're headed to the Hall of Fame, yeah, that are going, yeah, this guy's good, man. I really like what I'm seeing out of this guy. And for me, that holds more weight than somebody like you and I talking about it, because when you play the game, you look at it in a different perspective. You can tell who's fake, who's not, and all that kind of stuff. And they recognize right away Simmons is going to be really good. I'm excited about him.
I'm
now
so
too.
Pumped,
yeah,
man.
He is probably the most excited draft pick that we've had since the Patrick Mahomes years.
Yeah,
really,
I think
yeah,
so.
I mean, I think people were excited about Clyde
I was really excited. It's true. I was.
You know, Clyde, I think, but that was also coming off the Super Bowl win, and everybody was kind of juiced over that. It was COVID. We would have been excited about anything at that point in time. So I think we really were excited about that. But I think you're right. The more I've been thinking about it all morning long, and you said this is the most excited you've been about a draft pick since Patrick Mahomes, it's hard to debate that. It really is. It's hard to debate that because I think we, you and I, and I'm not going to speak for the folks listening and on the text line and all that kind of stuff, but, and you guys can weigh in, go for it. I love it. But like, I think we see Josh Simmons like that final piece of that puzzle, like is going to just tie this whole thing together. And that's what has us really excited about this. And we know the importance of that offensive line and how bad it's been because like I'm thinking about the F and the C and all this kind of stuff that you were talking about, the grades. And you're right. Like I know going through it with my kids right now, you have one bad test. It's hard to bounce back from that, right? Like you go 0-for-8 in baseball and your batting average drops so much. You get one hit, it barely moves up again, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not just the average of those two guys, the A and the F that equal the C. That F weighs you down so much, and you have to work so much harder to overcome that F, you know? And so it's not that that guy's an F and Tooney was an A and an average to a C. That F brings down everybody even further, and you have to work doubly hard to get over the top of that, you know?
Compensating for that, trying to dig yourselves out of these holes. You're like, why are we in this? Oh, yeah, we've got this dang F at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I can't get my grade back up. You mentioned 0-for-8. I go 4-for-8 my next at-bats. I'm still batting 250. I just batted 500 for the last 8 at-bats. Doesn't matter.
Right. You're still hitting 250. That's exactly right. It's hard to bring those letter grades up. That's why you can't make mistakes early on. And if you do, you're working overtime to try to get back to where you need to be. Coming up, it was extended. We knew it. Some didn't. We'll tell you why next.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back in on a Friday morning. Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco and Mac Morey in today. Dusty Likens out, hopefully hitting them straight at a golf tournament. I know hitting them straighter than I could. Set the over-under at 4.5 surf sides at around 10 a.m. when we end the show for our guy, Dusty Likens. Just talking about the Chiefs' biggest misconceptions on offensive line issues. Do they have offensive line issues? People acting like the left side of the line is a complete unknown one. Yeah, we have got question marks. But to say that there aren't real signs that the left side of the offensive line could not just be better, but above average for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think there are a lot of real, legitimate, relevant signs that point you to that fact. As we now kind of transition to the Starbonds being extended as Bob Fesco.
Sorry, my bad. The boss was in the hallway and we were talking. And
oh,
so,
fine.
You know, I had to take care of business. So apologize for that. But no, what were you talking about? The Starbonds, I hear?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Kind of touching base. And we were talking about misconceptions, the O-line. I said there are a lot of relevant, real signs that point to you that the left side of the line could be legitimate this year, better than average as far as the league's concerned. And it seems like people are just like, oh, question marks, unknowns. But I think the Chiefs know more than most people do. But then, yeah, I said the Starbonds were extended.
Yeah, and look, every team has question marks going into the season. It's just the way it is. Nobody's a complete team. Nobody's a complete team at the end of the year either. I think even the Philadelphia Eagles would probably tell you they probably could have tried to get Saquon Barkley more involved in that Super Bowl, but they didn't need to, and so they didn't have to. But the Chiefs did a great job of shutting him down. That's neither here nor there. But nobody's a complete team. There isn't a perfect team in any sports. That's why we have off seasons to retool all the time. But as you mentioned, the retooling, the Starbonds got extended yesterday for the Chiefs in the state of Kansas. And I do believe that we've got some bidding going on, which is cool, which is fun, which is great, which is what you want. And if you're a team like the Chiefs or the Royals, you've got two states in your city bidding on you. And that is a good thing. And yesterday or the day before, a bunch of the civic leaders in town did a conference call kind of media thing about the importance of keeping the teams in the region. And that's what it is all about. It's never been about keeping them on the Missouri side or keeping them on the Kansas side. To me, it's always been about keeping them in the region. And I've been very, very upfront about that. I don't care what side of the state line these stadiums end up being built on, but I do care that they're in the Kansas City metro and they're not in Portland, Oregon or Las Vegas or Nashville or someplace like that. They're going to be here. And that's a good thing for all of us involved. We need these teams in the Kansas City region, whether on the Kansas side of the line or the Missouri side of the line. It doesn't make a hill of beans and a hill of difference really to any of us as fans. You know, it just makes a big difference to whichever state that they're in. But as long as they're in our region, it doesn't matter where. And so yesterday, the star bonds are going to be extended now through the end of the year. We told you this about 3 weeks ago, that the star bonds were most likely going to be extended to the end of the year in the state of Kansas. And again, that is a good thing. It means things are moving along in the state of Kansas and they've got some momentum, because from the people that I've talked to, they said, you don't extend this stuff if you don't feel like you can potentially get a deal done. Now, this is no guarantee that Kansas is even in the lead right now for the Chiefs. It means they've got momentum. It means they're moving forward. It means they're agreeing on things. It means that they're, okay, I see that. I like this. I like this. I like that. We still have more to do. Let's extend this and continue our conversations. Just like any deal, they can fall apart at any time. And so I thought it was a strongly worded letter by Mark Donovan yesterday to the state of Kansas about the star bonds. I thought he was very strong in his wording. I thought Ty Masterson was strong. This Kansas State president was strong in his wording as well. And Mark Donovan in the letter to the state and the Senate President Masterson, he says, on behalf of our organization, we want to thank you again for your leadership in enacting the landmark economic development legislation passed last year to expand Kansas's Star Bond program. Your vision opened the door to a transformational opportunity, not only for Kansas, but for our organization as well. Together, we have the opportunity to bring the NFL to Kansas, anchored by a world-class dome stadium, a new team headquarters, a state-of-the-art practice facility, and a vibrant mixed-use and entertainment district. We're excited about the potential for this project, which would represent the largest economic development initiative in the state's history. Just as important, the presence of an NFL franchise in the state will serve as a powerful engine for immediate and long-term growth, driving national attention, sustained tourism, and billions more in private development across the state of Kansas. On and on and on. We're fully committed to the opportunity and have invested substantial time and resources in moving this project further. We've engaged in multiple rounds of detailed proposals and revisions with the administration. Extending the secretary's authority to expand the star bonds will allow that process to continue productively and will preserve Kansas's ability to secure the most significant economic development initiative in its history. We're grateful for the sport, and we believe that this project could mark the start of a defining new chapter for both Kansas and the Chiefs, and we look forward to continuing to explore that potential together. And so that's where the Chiefs in Kansas are. They got to a certain point, they're like, I feel good about you. You feel good about me? Sure, let's keep dating. Let's see what happens. Let's extend this for a little bit longer and see where we can go. Meanwhile, Missouri's cobbled together their plan to renovate Arrowhead Stadium, and that's a very attractive plan for many reasons for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. But they've got options now. They've got great options right now. And maybe Kansas is putting together a better plan than we've already seen from the state of Kansas. Maybe they're willing to pick up more of the tab on the stadium than originally proposed. And so all of this is getting worked out, and we'll see sooner rather than later where they end up. But the competition is good. It's great for the Chiefs. It's great for the Royals. I know that either state doesn't want to be in competition with each other, but them's the breaks. You could have solved all this by a vote year ago, and I don't want to get into that, but this is where we are in this process right now.
What's the attraction to the renovation?
For who?
For the Chiefs. You said the Chiefs, you know, in talks with Missouri about renovating Arrowhead, and that's kind of attractive to them as well. I mean, what is about that? I mean, you've mentioned that a
history.
Lot. History. Okay. So it's like you talked about keeping
legacy.
His legacy.
And that's really it, okay.
Because, I just think about that. That'd be a conversation that would probably come up again in another decade or so. Another renovation, right? You can only renovate an old stadium so much.
Right.
And then how much of the...
Look, I think it's foolish to renovate. At where we
Me
are
too.
With the 60-year-old stadium, I think it's foolish to put $1.5 billion
Agreed.
Into renovating a stadium when in about 15 or 20 years we're going to be having... Because
exactly.
This is the second time now I've lived on the air during this stuff, right? The first time was 03, 04 when they finally got the renovations. And they go, oh, it'd be good for 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is. Well, here we are. We're on the end of that already. It happens overnight. And so I think it's foolish to invest $1.5 billion of money into renovating a 60-year-old stadium. But it's not my stadium. My dad didn't build that. That's not my childhood home. So what you're asking is what's the pull to stay and renovate? History, tradition. It's been in my family forever. Yeah, my childhood home.
Totally.
All that emotional stuff.
And justifiable
that pulls
reasons.
On all of, absolutely it is justifiable.
Justifiable reasons. Legitimate reasons.
Yes.
But does the ability and the potential to host a Super Bowl or a Final Four or a WrestleMania or huge concerts, does that supersede that at all for the Chiefs?
Who are you talking to?
For the Chiefs.
Are you talking to Clark? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to...
I mean, Mark Donovan, Mark Donovan and Clark. It seems like it might for Mark from those words.
Yeah, like...
In the letter.
Yeah, like, to me, no, it doesn't. Like, what's best for the region? What's best for the region is to build a new dome for the Chiefs. Whether it's on Kansas or Missouri land, I don't care. I don't want to get into that. The best thing for this region, to move our region forward, for us to grow, for Kathy Nelson's job to be easy, is to have that dome stadium. Because what it does for the area, what it can attract, Super Bowl, Final Fours. My friend Jim came over the other night. I was telling you guys about this the other day.
Jim!
And we're sitting there talking about, everything, right? Life and whatnot. And he goes, I know you know this, he goes, but like, you know, Municipal Auditorium, Kansas City, has hosted more Final Fours and NCAA tournament games than anywhere in the world. I go, yeah, we know all that, right? But we're not allowed to do that anymore because we don't have the proper facility. The Final Four, the NCAA tournament, is ours. It was born here. It was created here. It was invented here. Like, this is the home of that. Why don't we want a dome stadium where every 4 years we would get the Final Four?
Yeah.
We would absolutely get the Final Four every 4 years by having that dome stadium because of the history that college basketball has here. The big-time WrestleMania events. Taylor Swift, maybe she decides when she retires, residency at that dome.
A UFC fight.
UFC fights. You know, the options are endless of what you can have if you have that dome stadium. So if you're asking me what I would do, I would build a new dome stadium on either side of the state line because that's best for the region. That's best for us as residents. It brings events here.
Yeah.
And when events get brought here, people in the service industry that own restaurants, that run hotels, everything, everybody makes money. And it's good. It generates tax dollars, which in turn allows us to do so much more than what we're able to do right now. And so I think it's important. I think it's vital. I think the right thing is to build a new dome stadium because that's what I think is best for the region. The renovation stuff, look, if they end up renovating, which is fine, and I understand that, it's a little more cost effective. You're talking 1.5 in renovations versus 3 to build. It's half the cost. I get all that. But you're going to be back here in 20 years. I won't be. But, you know, there will be the conversations when Mac's doing this job in 20 years sitting here. And I'm, you know, retired trying to figure out what my name is and I'm drooling. And Mac will be calling. Hey, remember 20 years ago when we talked about renovating? They're talking about it again. Right?
Bob, you still got those sources? Want to come on the show?
Maybe. What the hell was that? But that's why I don't like the renovation talk, because we're going to be here again. And we've already been here again. These were the conversations we were having 20 years ago about this stuff, right? And so here we sit. 20 years went by like that, like in a blink of an eye that 20 years went by. And now we're talking about doing it again. And if you renovate, now you're talking about in another 20 years how everything's going to change. And now you're talking about an 80-year-old stadium, essentially.
Tennessee, Nashville just went through this, right, with the whole voting stadium location. I don't have the exact numbers, but I should go get them for when this conversation progresses, as we know it will. However slowly it will. The economic impact that a dome stadium could have here is just astronomical.
Huge.
Bob.
Yeah.
It's just astronomical. And I think, yes, it is sad. I'd be sad about a lot of things and the old Arrowhead and the memories and all those things. And I can't imagine the emotions that the Hunt family would have. And all of that is justified and should be a part of the conversation.
Yep.
But I think when you talk about moving up and progressing as a city and growing, and it's something that all of us want for Kansas City on both sides of the state line, a dome stadium would do that. And I think that's what matters, too. I think we get really divisive in these conversations
We
got to figure out, hey, we're all Kansas City. We're all here. We're all rooting on the Chiefs.
Right.
That's what matters.
And we're all rooting on the Royals,
and
too.
The Royals.
Right?
Like, exactly.
Because this is for both of these teams right now. It's about establishing and securing the long-term future of both of these franchises here in Kansas City, because nobody wants them to move, but you never know what's going to happen. So you need to take care of these facilities. the head of the Senate, Ty Masterson, he had this comment yesterday. The letter from Mark Donovan indicates that the drive to bring this historic project to Kansas is moving down the field. Now that we are in the red zone, this extension will provide stakeholders sufficient time to ensure the ball crosses the goal line. That's the state of Kansas saying that. They feel good about what happened yesterday. They really do. And Missouri seemingly was kind of like, they said it was like a gut punch yesterday, but you should have known this was happening. We told you 3 weeks ago it was happening. Sometimes you just have to listen. If you're going anywhere else for your stadium information, I hate to tell you, you're not getting the right information.
Yep. Got to get it here. 6 to 10.
I mean, we've told you this whole process and how this whole thing was going to play out. And 3 weeks ago, I said, yeah, the star bonds will probably get extended to the end of the year. And then Missouri's like, oh my God, can you believe this is happening?
816 says, it may be better, quote, for the region, but it's best for Chiefs fans to preserve Arrowhead. There's no better game day experience in the NFL, and dome stadiums are sterile. I get where you're coming from. I'd miss the game day experience and stuff, too. I
but
understand.
What they're planning, if they do go to the dome stadium, it's going to be what they want. And the Chiefs, or what they want by the fans. And what I mean by that is, months ago, I told you all to take that Chiefs survey about the stadium. It took about a half hour. It was a very in-depth survey. And the results that they got back were three things that fans wanted. Plenty of parking for tailgating. And the other one was to make it loud, right? Tailgating and loud and parking. Those are the three things that fans wanted. And they said they didn't care whether they built new or renovated Arrowhead Stadium. Those are the only things that matter. And because of how much noise matters in Kansas City and the loudness level and how that matters to fans, the Chiefs have factored that in when thinking about building that new dome. And I'll be honest with you, a roof over the top keeps things louder. It keeps things louder than an outdoor stadium where the sound just goes away like that vapor gasoline.
You do lose the snow games and the weather stuff. That's what I'd miss
but
the most.
But if you have a retractable roof, you can leave that roof open. You don't have to have that thing closed.
You could.
Just because there's a roof on top of it. You can leave it open if you want to have the elements like that, which I think, you know, is fun every once in a while. I think the Miami game, they probably would have closed that thing off and people wouldn't have lost limbs. But I think, you know, from a loudness standpoint, domes are loud. It's piercing loud in there. And I know people don't like change, but either way, whatever happens, it's going to be a different experience.
Yes.
Whether they renovate Arrowhead Stadium or whether they build a new dome stadium, it's going to be a different experience. It's never going to be the way that it is right now. And look, I know from having, you know, our baseball trips and whatnot, how antiquated our stadiums truly are. And you've walked around that concourse at Arrowhead Stadium. You can't move.
It's crazy.
There's no room.
No.
There is no room on that lower level concourse for anything. You can't breathe. You can't walk. You can't go to the bathroom. It is packed with fans. Those things need to be rectified and changed.
Yeah,
and that comes with a new stadium.
Lines
dissipate.
Would improve. Yeah, a lot of things would improve.
Yep.
Just as much as we can find the cons, I think we'd be surprised at how many pros there would be. I do caution the retractable roof and dome thing just because of the history of it. It doesn't get used a lot. People get a retractable dome, they don't ever use it. But, man, I hope you're right. That would be my biggest thing. I think that's what a lot of people I hear on the text line saying.
What are they saying?
Yeah, I mean, they're worried about, like I said, the weather and tailgating and losing some
tailgating of tailgating is not getting lost if they build a new dome. Yeah. I promise you that. That was the number one thing that fans wanted, and the Chiefs are very in tune to what fans want. That's why they did that survey. What do you guys want? We want a loud stadium, we want tailgating, and we want parking.
816, can a dome seat 80,000? I don't think stadiums are being built to seat 80,000 anymore.
Not doing that anymore. There's no reason to.
And also, quantity doesn't equal sound. It's really the building.
Yeah.
You know, it's really going to be the architecture there. Yeah, and then I think it's just a lot of texts about division and that we talked about, and Kansas is Kansas, Missouri's Missouri. Hey, we're all here.
Dude, who the hell cares?
Yeah, what are we doing, man?
I don't seriously, that's such an antiquated attitude.
It's very, I don't know.
It really is. Like, it's an antiquated attitude. What did you say?
I said it's trash.
Yeah.
It's just trash.
It is. It really is. Like, you've got to get over that. And that has held this region back for so long, people with that attitude. I'm not going if it's in Kansas. Then don't go, bro. Like, seriously, don't go. And give me your name, and I'll pass it along to the Hunts or the Shermans, and we'll put you on a do not enter list. It's not that hard.
Well, Colin Cowherd doesn't even think we would need a dome or not this year because we won't make the playoffs. So we won't be playing in the cold weather teams because we're a wild card team at best, according to Colin Cowherd.
What the hell was that? Fine. You know what? Let's be a wild card team this year and go win the damn Super Bowl as a wild card team. Because then what's left? Like, what else can you continue to poke at if you're a Chiefs hater or somebody who's tired of the Chiefs? If they go out and get a wild card berth this year, they don't win the division, but they end up as the wild card and they win the Super Bowl. Now what are you going to say about this organization? Now what are you going to say about Patrick Mahomes, right? He's already gone on the road and swept the two biggest opponents in front of him and went out there and beat them in their own house and won a Super Bowl. He's done it here in Arrowhead and won a Super Bowl. Well, he's never won the Super Bowl as a wild card. Okay, fine. Let's check that off the list as well. Now what else are you going to come after Patrick Mahomes with, right? Like, everybody just keeps pushing the line and moving the line and pushing the line and moving the line of how we're going to ultimately judge Patrick Mahomes, judge this era of Chiefs football. And there are still some people out there who say it's not a dynasty, others who say the dynasty is over. And I'm thinking to myself, we're in the middle of this dynasty. We're right smack dab in the middle of everything that's going on with this dynasty. We are nowhere close to this type of dynasty ending. But you know what, Mac? I'll be honest with you. Go be a wild card team this year and go win the damn Super Bowl and show everybody, okay, fine, we're a wild card team. Now we got to win three road games in the playoffs as opposed to two road games in the playoffs. Like, give me your list now, doubters and haters, and tell me what you still think Patrick Mahomes needs to accomplish, and let me give him that list so he can go check off all those boxes and we can move this thing forward and say he's the greatest of all time. Can we just get to that point now?
They'll move the goalposts again, Bob. They'll try and do it again. I mean, at first it was, oh, he's got Tyreek and Travis. He's got so many weapons. All right, Tyreek's gone. Okay, when, oh, well, I mean, he always gets the one or two seed. He gets to play at home. Okay, fine, we'll go on the road and we'll win all those games.
Right.
Oh, well, it's, you know, it's the offensive line. Oh, don't have a great offensive line. Don't have great weapons. Okay, still go win. I mean, it's everything that happens. Patrick Mahomes just says, okay, hold my beer. I'll get that done. Seriously, I'll get that done. If that's what you're going to say that I can't do, fine. We'll do that the very next season. Colin Cowherd, I think Kansas City's a wild card team. I think the Chargers are going to be one of the best teams in the league, an 11 or 12 win team, and the Chiefs come into the season with offensive line issues.
It's today.
Have we not been let in on the joke to pick the Chargers every year? Like, is there a meeting like at that Barrett Summit where they all talk about like picking the Chargers?
It was the Fanatics Fest, actually.
Was it at Fanatics Fest? Is that where they do that? Yeah. Where all of the talk show hosts get around and decide like we're gonna pick the Chargers again this year?
Oh yeah.
Like, where do these meetings take place? Where do the idiot meetings take place? Right. Like, where do these people line up and go, okay, the Chargers are here. Can I have some more, please? Of the Chargers. They've done nothing. But they're the greatest team since sliced bread. They're better than Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Based on what?
Last year's Super Bowl blowout loss marked the end of the Chiefs dynasty.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Marked the end of the dynasty. It is over, right? The Chiefs dynasty is done. I want to know where these people are lining up to get their takes, because they are ridiculous. They are bad.
Yeah.
You cannot pick against the Chiefs until the Chiefs show you to pick against them. And they haven't done that in the last decade, and I don't expect that to start now. So,
from the 913, CDOT runs the meeting. Hey! Love it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's take good. The day.
I like that. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Coming up here, I need help. I need a lot of help, right? We know that. But I need your top bands for summer. My wife asked me yesterday, she goes, what's our summer playlist? I'm like, I don't know. So I need help. What are the best bands for summer? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Rolling through Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. Why this song, Mac?
This is a song that I like to listen to in the summer, baby. This is Too Much to Think by 311.
And 311, I'm glad you play it, because I think they are the perfect summertime band.
Oh,
I really do.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're so perfect for
it. They really are. It reminds me of college. It reminds me of Rock and Ron, or Stoner Bus Driver, who unfortunately went to Vietnam and never really came back from Vietnam.
Dang.
But, I mean, he was the best. Yeah. And anybody who lived on Stewart Ave in Lawrence, Kansas in the 90s knows Rock and Ron, and I mean, that guy was the best. Long ponytail, freedom rock dude.
Heck yeah.
Had his boombox on the bus.
Let's go.
And every once in a while, 311 would come on, and that was kind of, you know, his jam.
Nice.
And he'd be jamming out to Bob Marley and everything. I mean, it was the best. He would drive us on pub crawls and whatnot. And then on Friday, when you're coming back from the wheel drunk and you're meandering around campus and don't know where you are, he yells out the bus, "Get on the bus, Fetzo!" Then you get on the bus, and Rock and Ron takes you right home. It was beautiful. I mean, and then his wife was Rock and Ronna. He was,
no.
Oh, yes, Ronna. And Ronna used to mow the lawn at the teak house for us. So let me tell you, that was quite a sight.
Oh, wow.
Ronna, to make some extra money, would mow the lawns of all the fraternity houses along the street.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
And I love Ron, and he passed away. But,
oh,
I mean, he was, I mean, everybody knew who Rock and Ron was at KU back in the day. And that's kind of where
awesome.
I was, I don't want to say exposed to 311, but that's where I was exposed to 311. And, you know, I was listening to it
that's
yesterday.
Cool.
I've got a friend who the number 11 is big in her world, and we were talking about it yesterday. And I just started jamming out to 311 yesterday afternoon as I was kind of, you know, just sitting outside and enjoying the weather that was out there. So I do. I think 311 is really probably the best when it comes to summertime bands.
Mm.
Like this song? I hope there's no swears in it. Yeah, Don't Stay Home by 311. One of the classics from 1995. So I do. I think they are kind of that perfect summertime band. And I saw this list on, I think it was Yardbarker yesterday, and they're like the top 25 bands of summer. And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to get into this. And, you know, because every once in a while, like every 6 months or so, you kind of need that new playlist, you know, and you need to freshen things
up.
And,
yep.
You know, we're starting to compile the tailgate playlist for next year and or for this year, I guess. And you got a couple of months to the start of the season. And so starting to compile that playlist. But I want to know from the text line, the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, what are your summertime bands, man? Who's on that list? And I'm going to keep a running tally over here and probably create some sort of playlist, because my wife did. She said the other day, she goes, what's our playlist for the summer? I'm like, I don't know. We got to figure that out. So who you got on your list, Mac?
Well, you mentioned Bob Marley a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd say Bob Marley's on there. 311's top of my list. I'd say anything. I don't know why. I just classic rock for whatever reason, like harder classic rock.
Yeah.
Like AC/DC, Journey, things like that. Maybe Boston.
I don't consider Journey or Boston hard rock at all.
Harder on the classic side, you wouldn't?
No. Look, you hear them on, like, it's rock, but I don't think that's hard rock. I think it's lighter.
Okay, so Metallica, probably.
Yeah, that's hard rock.
Okay,
heavy metal.
Yeah, heavy metal. Okay, I guess I'm saying harder on the classic side of the rocks. I know they're probably, yes. They're not hard rock, so that's fair. But I guess Boston, Journey, and then 1975's got such a discography for, like, everything. They've got, like, winter songs, and then they've got a lot of songs for me that vibe with the summer and being outside. So I'd say 1975's on that list as well.
Those are some good ones. Sublime is on the list for
me. Okay, we got a text on that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Rusted Root will always be on my list of kind of summertime songs. Because, again,
write that down.
It's memories, right? Like, all your senses are tied together. Just like Dayton says, all of our successes are tied together, right? All of our senses are tied together, and certain songs remind you of certain things. Rusted Root, Send Me On My Way, will remind me of Dollar Pitcher Night at the Crossing back in the 90s in Lawrence. And so if you were on that little deck bringing your own pitcher to get dollar pitchers, Rusted Root was always playing. Reminds me of the good old days, right? So I like them. Weezer, I think, is a good summertime
band. That's a great one.
The Blue Album, where they did all the covers.
Yes.
It's phenomenal.
Fantastic. Yeah,
I mean, it is a phenomenal, phenomenal album that they have, that Blue Album with all the covers. Unbelievable job by them. And then you're going to laugh, and I don't care.
Okay.
Pitbull.
Pitbull.
Yes.
Gasolina. I mean, hey, you're not wrong.
It's fun, right?
He's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And then also, I like Chicago.
Okay.
I think they have the best horn section in the history of music. And I'm sure there's some debate on people would debate that, but my God, find me a better horn section than what the dudes at Chicago have. I'd love to hear it.
We've got some text. Incubus came in.
Okay.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's
is
a good
popular
one, too.
One.
I
think that is a popular one. I've seen a couple of these, and I'll have to, obviously, I know of him, but haven't listened to a lot of his music. Steely Dan.
Dan's a band. Yeah, it's not an individual. Yeah. But that's good. That's fine.
But yeah, I haven't heard much of them, so I'll have to get into them. Limp Bizkit.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. I don't know about summer, but I think that's fair. They're fun.
Yeah, I don't know that that's a summer song. You know,
like
that.
yeah, they're just kind of, they're good. I like them, but I don't know if that's summer. Jack Johnson's a great one.
Ooh,
I am a big
one, yeah.
Jack Johnson guy. So summer morning, that'd be good. Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Could see that. Styx. Interesting.
Styx.
Come Sail Away in the summer, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. Pearl Jam.
Good one.
Great one.
Yeah.
Yes, outside rocking out to some Pearl Jam. That is a vibe for sure. Counting Crows.
Really good. I told you, okay. I'm on a Counting Crows kick now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm not familiar with them that well at all either.
That's so the Einstein, like, egg falling song. Counting Crows, August and Everything After. You know, Round Here, Omaha.
Yeah, I know, like, they're made, like, okay. Mr. Jones. Yeah, but yeah, I know that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
oh, you like Mr. Jones? We can't be friends.
Yeah, I'm that guy. Sorry. Sorry.
Speaking of that guy, Dave Matthews. The Dave Matthews Band is a good summer.
That's a great one. Wish Hannah and I could have seen them live, but we left the festival a day early. Oh, I would like to see them. Zac Brown Band. Seen that a few times. That's a great one.
Good one.
That's a good one. Motley Crue. That's kind of what I was thinking of. Yes, that sort of classic rock. Yes, they. I would not say they're a hard rock band, but yes, that sort of grungy classic rock style. Sublime again. Kenny Chesney?
I was going to say, I'm surprised it took this long for Kenny Chesney to pop on that list. I'm not a huge, you know, that's not my genre of music, but I know it's great for a lot of people. They love it. You know, I put Jimmy Buffett well ahead of Kenny Chesney for that.
That's fair. Yeah, for summer specifically. Yeah. Sum 41. I love Sum 41. Check out the band, the 1975. Yes, 913. Completely agree. Will Smith from another 913.
You know, I can't listen to him anymore after the slapping incident.
Really?
Man.
You're out. He just came out with a new song.
Is it any good?
It's okay. It's not bad. I mean, it's not good, but like it's like his other music, right? It's kind of fun, whatever.
Like every time I've got it on one of my playlists, Summertime, I'm like, skip, get away from me. I don't know what it is. Like that just sent me in the wrong direction, man. Like ever since he did that, I'm just like, I'm out on this guy.
Did y'all talk about that on the radio the next day?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Yeah. That would be the lead for me. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was an insane thing that happened. Yeah. Soundgarden.
A good one. Yeah.
The Beatles Magical Mystery Tour in particular. I like that. Fish.
Fish is another good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Would you put the Dead on that list then too?
Probably.
Yeah.
913, here we go. It took this long, but Cake has a way better horn section, Bob.
Okay. Look, Cake's got a great horn section. I think Cake's a great summer band, too.
That's
Fashion
band
Nugget is one of the
dive
best
into
albums.
More. Okay.
Yeah,
which
Fashion
one?
Nugget. Yellow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Putting
album.
It on the Spotify right now. Yeah. I will jam it out. Love it.
And then, of course, you've got the ever-popular Squirrel Nut Zippers that you can put on here.
Okay. I'll do that.
Anybody putting that on their list?
913 tells you to ask me the origin of Steely Dan. So I'll get you that.
Yeah.
The Beach Boys. Yeah. Great one. Great mm-hmm. one.
Very good one. Yeah. Looking at some of these others on the list. Sugar Ray, they have Everclear. 311.
Sugar Ray is a good one, too.
Yeah, Sugar Ray is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, he's still doing it. He's still killing it.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he is, man. He's more popular, it seems. I mean, he's like a kind of had a resurgence in these last couple months. I don't know why.
All over the place, from doing game shows to popping up everywhere.
A lot of podcasts, too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's good for him. We saw him live not too long ago, either. He was really good.
Was he?
Yeah, he actually was. We thought it'd be cringy and a little bit like, I don't know, Glory Days-esque, but it wasn't. He was funny. He was self-deprecating to a point, you know, because he knows he's not what, you know, rock stars age, a little weird, not what you were.
Where did you see him?
We were at that music festival in Ocean City, Maryland.
Okay, so it was a music festival. Yeah. Because I saw when I was watching Skeens versus Miz the other day, like Nelly's performing in the post-game concert tonight in Milwaukee. That's the start of like falling down the ladder. Like when you're getting booked at the end of a baseball game, it goes like...
That's true.
Like that's like Nelly was huge, and now so much time has passed. It happens to everybody. You don't need a Arrowhead Stadium type of venue to sell out Nelly. Anymore,
yeah.
Right. So he's doing like the after baseball concert, and then it goes to be like, you know, state fair. Then you're at the county fair level. Once you're playing the ballroom at the casino in Topeka, ooh, Kansas. Who did Ralph see at the ballroom in Topeka, Kansas recently? And he's like, yeah, in the back of the ballroom, they like had the buffet left out from earlier in the day, and everybody was eating off the buffet that was left out. And it, like, I forget who he said it was. And I'm like, they're playing the casino in Topeka.
That's crazy.
At this point in time, Like, that's when you know it's probably about time to put this away. Local casino, random town in the middle of nowhere.
Hang it up.
And we got Nelly tonight, you know, in Ottumwa, Iowa, playing the Terrible's Casino. What? Oh, my God. That's where we are now? You got to get out, man. So, like, Vanilla Ice did it a couple of years ago at the K. Yeah. It was great. It was fun.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Very self-deprecating. And that's the way you got to be. You have to understand kind of where you are in your life.
Yeah,
at this
time passes,
time, right?
Things change. Yeah.
Yes, they do. And now you're playing the state fair. Local casino.
Hey,
is
but,
next. Yeah.
But Frankie Valli's still doing it. So
that was sad.
That is sad.
That's like, you don't want to be that guy.
No. Someone's got to get in his ear.
Yeah, just like they did with Lee Corso. I mean, like, somebody has to tell you it's time.
And that was probably too late.
Yeah, we did that to Josh a year ago. Coming up, I kid. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, we do our Richards of the Week, and that is next.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.